From Spark and Anvil and Fossil Forge, this is Field, in Chapter 1 of the Fossil Forge cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2. Field was a small badger, no taller than a stack of textbooks. Her fur was a chunky pattern of gray, cream, and black bands. She moved with a quiet, unhurried grace, her attentive eyes always scanning, always noticing. Tucked into her sturdy canvas vest, she carried two special things. One was a folded landscape sketch, a watercolor she'd drawn herself. It showed a Cretaceous floodplain, alive with an iguanodon herd grazing near a river. Conifer trees lined the banks, ginkgo leaves floated on the water, and dragonflies sicked overhead. The other treasure, hidden in an inner pocket, was a small clay jar. Inside, tiny pinches of sediment rested, each from a different fossil layer, each carefully labeled with its formation. This was Field's craft, her special way of seeing. For her, a fossil wasn't just the remains of an ancient creature. It was a story, a snapshot of an entire world. She called it paleoenvironment reconstruction. Most people looked at a fossil and thought, "Oh, cool, a trilobite." They stopped there. Field saw the trilobite, yes, but her mind immediately began asking, what kind of world did this trilobite live in? That was the real question, the more interesting one. The trilobite itself told you about trilobites, but the rock around the trilobite, the sediment, the other tiny fossils, the faint ripples or cracks in the stone, that told you about the place. It told you about the ancient sea, the forest floor, or the desert where that creature once lived. Field's job was to read that larger picture, piece by careful piece.
Field made it clear from the start, this wasn't about memorizing long lists of rock names. Reading the place around a fossil is about practiced looking, she'd tell her students. It's not about jargon. You look at the matrix, the rock holding the fossil. You look for other fossils nearby. You examine the sedimentary features, ripples, mud cracks, crossbedding. Then you ask, what kind of place leaves these traces? The looking, that's the real work. Field came from a small village nestled in a valley. Her family had been the village's land surveyors for generations. They were the badgers who walked the fields each spring, mapping where the soil changed, where the water table rose, or where a new house could safely stand. Field learned early that the ground told stories. Digging a hole in one part of the village might reveal rich, dark topsoil over layers of clay. Digging another hole, just a few yards away, could show sandy loam over gravel. Her parents taught her to read these layers. They showed her how the sediment spoke of ancient floods, or dry spells, or even where a stream once flowed. By the time she was six, Field understood that every place held its own history, written in the earth. A practiced eye could always read it. When Field arrived at the Fossil Forge Academy at 22, Professor Petra, a wise old owl with spectacles perched on her beak, met her. "Tell me, Field," Professor Petra had asked, her voice soft but clear, "what is paleoenvironment reconstruction?" Field didn't hesitate. She looked Professor Petra right in the eye. "It's reading the place from the fossil," she said. "One fossil is a whole place. You read the matrix, you read the associated fossils, you read the sedimentary features. Then you ask, what kind of place leaves these traces? The fossil is just one piece of a much larger picture." Professor Petra had smiled. "You are appointed," she said. In her workshop, Field started every first day lesson the exact same way. She'd walk to the long workbench, her movements quiet and deliberate. With a soft rustle, she'd unfold her landscape sketch, smoothing the watercolor flat. The ancient floodplain with its grazing iguanodons and drifting ginkgo leaves seemed to come alive. Next, she'd place her small clay jar beside it. She'd carefully open the lid, revealing the tiny, labeled pinches of earth inside. Then she'd pinch a small amount of sediment into her palm, letting the grain sift through her fingers.
"I am Field," she'd begin, her voice calm. "The paleontology primitive I teach is paleoenvironment reconstruction.
The move is simple. Read the place around the fossil. One fossil is a whole place. You look at the matrix. You look at what other fossils are nearby. And you ask, what kind of place leaves these traces? Then she'd dive into the details, the steps she called her paleo-environment scaffolds. First, she'd explain, holding up an imaginary fossil, don't stop at the organism. The fossil is just the doorway. The place it lived, that's the real question. She'd point to the sediment in her hand. Second, look at the matrix. Is the rock fine mud, like a calm lake bed, or coarse sand, like a river delta? Is it limestone, hinting at an ancient sea, or shale from a deep, quiet basin? Different sediments tell you about different environments.
Third, look for associated fossils, she'd continue. What other creatures or plants are preserved in that same rock? Are they marine animals, like clams and corals, or freshwater fish? Maybe fern fronds from a forest, or grasses from an open savanna? These neighbors tell you who shared the space. Fourth, search for sedimentary features, Field would say, sketching quick lines on a whiteboard. Ripples in the rock mean shallow water with a current. Mud cracks show the ground was exposed to air and dried out. Crossbedding, those angled layers, suggest moving water or even wind. Each feature names a process that shaped that ancient world. Fifth, don't forget trace fossils, she'd add. Burrows, footprints, tooth marks. These aren't the creatures themselves, but what they did. They tell you about behaviors, not just bodies. Sixth, build your pictures step by step, she'd advise. You might start with marine, then refine it to reef, then tropical reef, then late Cretaceous tropical reef in a specific named formation. The more evidence you find, the more specific your picture becomes. And finally, Field would say, gesturing to her own watercolor, sketch your reconstruction. Drawing the inferred landscape forces you to commit to what the evidence truly supports. If you can't draw it, you probably don't have enough evidence yet. Field was always clear about one thing. I sometimes draw a reconstruction that has to be revised when new evidence comes in, she'd tell them. That's not failure. That's just how reconstructions work. The picture only gets sharper as the evidence accumulates. Students often asked Field if paleo-environment reconstruction was hard. She always gave the same answer, her eyes twinkling. It's not hard, she'd say. It's simply reading the place. One fossil is a whole place. Read the matrix. Read the associated fossils. Read the sedimentary features. Then ask, what kind of place leaves these traces? Field would then carefully refold her landscape sketch, tucking it back into her vest. The small clay jar with its layered secrets waited on the workbench. It waited to be opened again, to share its stories. And the next ancient place, somewhere out in the world, waited patiently to be read. A thought that filled Field with a warm, settled contentment. The quiet gladness of knowing there would always be one more world to look at gently. And all the time she needed to see it.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Field. Released under Creative Commons BYNCSA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.